Now, I've got some wonderful people here this morning. They probably don't want to be attention drawn to them, but I can't help myself. James, Jess, would you stand up? Welcome with your wonderful baby. Let's just welcome Jess and James. Our missionaries from Zambia. Sorry to do this, but I can't help myself. Wonderful to be here. Well, school started this week. Did it? Well, all the parents that sent their children to school, did you live again? That's better. The people are happier. But now I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet, please. Everybody stand to your feet. And I want you to do something so you can engage me. Because one of the big things about ministering is that when people sort of say, now the sermon's coming, they kind of at times just sort of listen up. I've got a few questions for you to engage. Number one, if your week was fantastic, thumbs up. Well, if it was, not yet. If it was okay, that's that way. If it wasn't lekker, then go that way. So, question. How was your week? All right, now turn to the person and go, look, what your sign was. Will you show them? And then, if it wasn't so good, say to them, oh, shame. Get over it. Okay, turn to someone and say good morning again. Just want you to engage. Fantastic, you may take a seat. We enter the series on Breathe. And this morning, I want to talk about inviting God's favor into your life. Yeah. Inviting God's favor into your life. Please carefully hear the language. Not just the favor of God, but inviting it. Yeah. Wonderful. Psalm 51 and verse 8 says, look with favor on Zion and help her rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. We started the new year by saying, you know, we're going to take some time before we get off running full head, crazy, when your feet can't touch the ground and you're into 2014. Before you blink, it's Easter. We want to stop. Take some time to look inside. To breathe. To reflect. To look behind what I've left behind. To look ahead what lies ahead. And to look up to God for strength. You see, we can fall into the trap of another year, 2014, and our feet can get going. And before we know it, we're in the rut and the routine. No, I believe God wants to do something for you in 2014. Very different. So we dealt with endings. You can't have a new beginning if you don't have a good ending. And we spoke about new beginnings and we spoke about the whole seasons. Kairos is about the chronos time. Minutes, hours, seconds, calendar dates. They tell us that everybody has a rhythm of chronos. People get up early, that's their chronos rhythm. Others, only Jesus can wake them up. And even after coffee one, ball, coffee two, then Jesus is awake. Well, excuse me, Jesus woke them up. I've got to be careful. My wife's here. I can't talk behind her back when she's in front of me now. So the bottom line is we've got rhythms and chronos times, seasons. You watch the tides. But there's another word used in the Bible for times, and it's called seasons. And that's called kairos. When you come to a divine, God interrupts your chronos, your regular, and he wants to break into a season. He taps you on the shoulder, and he says, I want to do something in your life. Special. And today I want to dive in to understanding the season of God's favor. But I need to get clarity on this. I need to bring biblical clarity, not on what people say. What does the Bible say on this? The biblical definition is important, that we operate from the Word of God. Is there an amen in this congregation? Let me try it again. Is there an amen in the congregation? We have to take our compass, our true north. We have to take our center point. We can have opinions, and that's fine. But let me tell you, at the end of the day, it's God's Word that will stand. Reading through the book of Matthew, heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word will remain. So we've got to stick to the Bible and find our biblical Bible definition. The word favor in the Old Testament describes acceptance. When someone shows you favor, it's accepting you. It means goodwill. It means kindness to someone. It means stooping down to an inferior. Often the king, the royalty, would walk by and people all bow or even go down and genuflect, curtsy before them, and the king would put forward his hand and he would lift them up. That's a moment of favor to a subject. He didn't have to stop, but he did. I see this played out in 2 Samuel chapter 9, where a king, a great king, King David, shows favor, shows kindness to one of the descendants of Saul. Let me give you the picture. In the Old Testament and in days gone by, if you became the ruler and you ascended to the throne, you made sure you wiped out all the relatives and descendants of the previous king, just in case they could make claim on the throne. So when David ascended to the throne, he ascended after Saul. Now all of Saul's descendants, one of them was Jonathan. Jonathan had a son, and here's his name, Mephibosheth. Who's pregnant and who's going to have a baby? Be careful, don't call your son Mephibosheth. It's a difficult name, but it's a unique name. He was crippled when they were fleeing the temple. He lived in a place called Lo-Debar. Isolated. And all of a sudden, David says, who is left of the descendants of Saul? The people are thinking he's going to kill. He's going to make sure he wipes out any opposition to the throne. And they say, yes, there's one boy, Mephibosheth. He lives in Lo-Debar, next to Hai-Debar. He lives there. Go fetch him. When he is summoned, what do you think Mephibosheth is thinking? He's thinking, this is it. When David sees him, listen to what his words is. Don't be afraid. I intend to show you kindness, favor. And that young boy, crippled in his legs, sits at David's table every day to eat in the throne next to the king, because he showed him favor. In the New Testament, the same idea is carried through when the word favor, and it's used interchangeably with the word grace, charis, kindness, to show kindness to an undeserving person. Somebody walks past and just shows mercy to you and a kindness. That's an act of favor. That's where we get the word, he did a favor for you. Well, did you pay for it? No, he just did it out of his kindness. Now, when Jesus stood in Luke chapter 4, he announced his declaration of his ministry. In Luke chapter 4, in his He'd just come out of the temptations. He'd just come out of being baptized. He's now making his first maiden speech. His declaration of his mandate of what he's come to do on earth. And he does this in the synagogue of his hometown, Nazareth. And he proclaims this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." It is a passage out of Isaiah. And then he uses a wonderful phrase, "The time of God's favor has come." What Jesus is saying is, right now on earth, I'm going to show love and kindness to all mankind, even though they don't deserve it. He says, my mission on earth is going to be to show mercy and grace and kindness to who? To people who rebel against me, to people who don't love me, to people who ignore me. I am coming to show favor. That's the season we're living in. The favor of God. In John chapter 3, God so loved the world that he sent his only son. But verse 17 says, he sent his son not to judge the world, because judgment was not what Jesus came to bring. Judgment will happen. There will be a day when all mankind will stand and give an account of their life. But we are living in a season of God's kindness towards us. All mankind. That's what Jesus declares. John chapter 1 and verse 16, the prophecy of Jesus' life. John's prophecy and foretelling of Jesus says, out of the fullness of grace, he has blessed us all, giving us blessing after one after another. Verse 17, the law came with Moses, but grace and truth came with Jesus Christ. Please hear me. Please hear me. God is looking upon this earth today, upon you sitting in this church this morning, and he's extending kindness to you. He's extending grace to you. To all the world. You say, but I don't deserve it. That's called favor. I'm not worthy of God's love. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've been like. He knows. And he says, I've come to declare the season of God's favor over you. And that he extends to all who turn to him. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. He says, for he makes his sun to shine on good people and on bad people alike. He gives rain to those who do good and to those who do evil. That's called favor. But we see in the scripture that we're all living under favor all the time. We're not living under judgment. That we will give an account one day. Now we're into grace. That you can come fallen and you've made a mistake and you've messed up and you tried and you've fallen and you tried and you've fallen. You come to a God filled with grace. Not legalism, not judgment of grace. Can somebody agree with me on that? Not under the law, but under grace. But there are seasons when God comes to individuals and to people and to groups of people. And he taps them on the shoulder. And he invites them, like he invites all of us, but he creates a kairos time, a specific season where he taps people on the shoulder and he invites them to step into his season of favor for their life. We see that in scripture. Let me give you an example. Mary. A young virgin. Gabriel comes to her, as it were, and taps her on the shoulder. You know what his greeting was, Nathan? Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. This is a special moment. There's a season. Something's going to happen in your life. God is inviting you to step into that. Now, Mary could have said, no, I don't want to step into that. The scripture says later on in Luke chapter 1 that she responds and says, be it according to thy word. So we're all living under favor. Wayne, then he comes and he taps you on the shoulder. Would you come here, Wayne? This is the good-looking Wayne. Just hold it. I'm going to tap you and you're going to walk away. He's not responding. He's not coming. He's not entering into it. And that's what God does in seasons. He does that with Jesus when he brings him to the earth. And the scripture says he grew up in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God. But you know, it was he, Jesus, who said, yes, your will be done. It is he in Luke, in John chapter 5, who says, no, I've come not to do my own will. I've come to do the will of him who sent me. In John chapter 4, no, my meat is to do the will of my Father. He steps into it. He's invited. He's tapped. God creates a kairos time, and he steps into it. A young man grows up in the temple under Eli. 1 Samuel. The scripture says, verse 26, meanwhile the boy Samuel grew taller and grew in favor with the Lord and with people. God had set him aside, tapped him on the shoulder, Nathan. And we read in the scriptures how God comes to him and calls him, and he's not sure who's calling him. And then at one stage, the Lord came and called as before, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel replied, speak, your servant is listening. He responds, he enters into, he steps into it. And the nation of Israel, in a season where they're disregarding God and they're in a dark season, Isaiah 49, he says, I will restore the nation with my favor. He invites them to step into it. Sadly, God's favor is wide open for us to step into. Sadly. We let it pass. Because our chronos, our agenda, our world, what we ordered, what we want, that becomes the driving force of our life. And God taps you. And I believe God is tapping many people in this church on their shoulder. Like a Mary. And he said, I have a season of favor for, will you step into it? For some reason, we think the season of favor is going to fall and we're going to live like we like and just pretend nothing is different. And God says, it's not going to be like it. You have to step into it. And we love that kind of theology that just says, just live like you like and just every now and then say, the favor of God, the favor of God, the favor of God. Really? 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 Not when I read in the scripture that the favor of God is wide open for you to step in. And when God is calling you and God is speaking to you and God is calling you to step up into it. Because there's like a kairos moment over your life. I believe it's over this church's life. I believe it's over young men, young women, moms and dads. I believe he's tapping many on the shoulder. And he's inviting you to step into the season of favor. You're living under favor. That's called grace. Now he says, will you step into that kairos special season? I want to take a look at a young man and just briefly who sensed God tapping him on his shoulder. A young man that sensed through a dream that God tapped him on his shoulder and called him to step into the favor. And throughout his life, how long did he live? We're not too sure. 105, just a bit older than me. 105. Oh, actually younger than me. 105. And throughout that, through the storms, through the times when he went to prison, to the times when he went to be sold by his brothers, by the time that he was imprisoned unjustly, to the times when nothing seemed to be in his favor, he knew that he had heard God and he stepped in and remained faithful to the favor of God and the call on his life. And so when it was a bad day, he didn't say, I'll do my thing. Joseph stayed true. And I read his life and I've been very challenged, and Bobby and I prayed into this and kind of wondered, what was it about his life and what is it about my life and what is it that God calls us into? What is the catalyst and the key that caused him to live in the season of favor, where God did prosper him, where God did, because that's part of favor. No matter what season he was in, God prospered him. God raised him up to be a ruler over the second in charge of Egypt, from a prison right into power. There was God's favor. What was it that caused the favor, James, to live over that man's life? And over your life, James. And over yours, Jess. What was it? What was the key catalyst? And if you forget everything about my sermon, remember this one thing. What was the tipper? What was the key one thing that caused him to enter in and live in the favor of God? It was his God-first choices, i.e. his godly choices. Every decision he was faced with, it was God first. It was God first, Michael. He took supreme authority, God first. We want the season of God, and if you want to enter in the season of God, read the scripture. Mary had to say, yes, Lord. Jesus had to say, thy will be done. Samuel had to say, yes. Moses had to say, here I am. The godly decision meant that the season of favor was his. And I want to make the statement, you aren't going to experience the favor of God if you don't make godly decisions, God-first decisions. Because Jesus actually taught that. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Quiz time. Bible sword drill. If you got your Bible, look at it. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all the favor will be added to you. Look at the sequence. Jesus told his disciples, you want the favor? You want to operate under the favor? Seek first the kingdom of God. God first. And the other translation says, above all else, and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. That favor. He's saying, my favor will be upon you when you choose me first. I looked up that verse and I was challenged by it. When it says seek first, just that word seek, it means to strive, to aim for, to crave and long for. The language that Paul used in Philippians chapter 3 when he said, I focus on this, I strive, I press on, I push in. It's the same language. What do I do first? Seek first. The word first, the primary priority, first rank in any succession of people or things. Him first. I believe that's key to entering in the season of God for your life. I believe that will be the tipper. I believe we are all living under the favor of God, but when there is a Kairos moment, God invites you and he knocks and he taps you on the shoulder. He says, now I want you to step in, put me first. And Joseph, briefly, three things that I see this played out in his life when it was God first. When he was tempted, he refused to do what's wrong. He refused to go with the temptation. He put God first. The classic case is in Genesis 39 when he's serving in Potiphar's house, a ruler in Egypt, an Egyptian ruler, an army general. And Mrs. Potiphar looks at him and sees he's handsome, good looking, and she invites him to come to bed with her to have sex. Not because she needed warmth. And she did that repeatedly. And he refused. He makes the godly decision and he says, no. God first. He says, how can I do such a wicked thing? He says to her, it would be a great sin against God. God first. I don't want to offend God. I don't want to cause God's favor to leave me. David prayed in Psalm 51, oh, don't remove your presence from me. He said, no, I want the favor of God to stay with me. If I sleep with you, what will happen to the favor of God? God first. God first. We'll all face temptations. He was tempted. She was probably a beautiful woman. If he slept with her, it would have been convenient for him. Benefits in the as a slave. Special treatment. He says, no. I want to live in God's favor. So God first decision. Can I challenge you? You want the favor of God over your family? Choose God first. You want the favor of God over your finance? You do what he wants first. Bring your tithe into the storehouse. Honor me with your wealth. You want God's favor over you? You say, God first. When I want to have pleasure, God first. The second thing I believe, which was critical to where we see God first decisions in his life, is when he was unjustly treated, he refused to hate, but he chose to forgive. He refused to retaliate. He chose to forgive those who wronged him. His brothers wronged him. They sold him as a slave. Human trafficking was happening. They wanted to kill him. The one brother said, let's be kind. Let's sell him as a slave. How kind was that? Spent time in prison, was a slave, and then did nothing wrong, and then was imprisoned unjustly when he was innocent. In all of that, the Bible says the favor of God was on Joseph's life, and I can give you text after text. In the prison, the favor of God, he became the man that ran the prison. In the house of Potiphar, the favor of God was on him because he made the decision to put God first. He chose to forgive and not become bitter. I tell you, you will never have the favor of God on your life if there's unforgiveness in your life. Please hear me. Could this man not have justified why he could just take retaliation to the next level? Not possible. Your brothers. Your own blood, flesh and blood, sell you out. He says, no. And then, when he has the opportunity, after his father had died, Jacob had died, and now this young man was in a position of power. He was the second in command of the whole of Egypt through his circumstances. And they come to him and said, whoa, now vengeance is going to happen. Dad is gone. You held back with your vengeance because Dad was around. Now he's gone. He makes another godly choice. He says to them in chapter 50, verse 19, don't be afraid of me. Am I God that I can punish you? Don't be afraid. I will continue to take care of you and your children. He reassured them, now listen to the word, and spoke kindly with favor to them. John, thank you. Can I get vulnerable and honest with you? This is a stumbling block for many of us. But for me, my father taught me growing up. For those who are my age will understand, Paul, what a tiki was. And we used to have tiki boxes. Not things you put tikis in. That was the phone booth. Because a phone cost tiki. My father always said, carry a tiki in your pocket because you can trust nobody. You call me. I'm your father. When they're so nice to you, don't trust. So you grow up with that filtered in your brain. And then when people would let him down, he would say, you see, told you. Keep a tiki in your pocket. Really, Dad, you were a great dad, but really? I don't want to live like that. I want to live in forgiveness so that I can have the favor of God on me. Forgive. Make a godly decision to forgive. When he was in power, in a position of great power, he refused to compromise. Now he had had it all. He'd second in command. Now you see, as a 17-year-old boy, he stepped into the favor of God. He says, I'm going to stay faithful to the favor of God. In the good seasons and in the bad seasons. I do believe favor is for you. But favor is dependent upon you making godly decisions. It's no good just proclaiming favor of your life. Favor of my life, and I live like I like. That's not biblical. Study the scripture. Walk in and step into the favor. Because it's yours, it's yours, it's yours. But seek first my kingdom and my righteousness and what all these things will be added. That's the favor. This week, Bobby and I were so moved. We were going through, she was actually reading and meditating on Psalm 51. It's all about David's confession and repentance. And we were dealing with things that we wanted to make sure that we kept clean. And she came and shared it with me, and we spent time praying, and which is our practice. The story is about David, where he sinned by sleeping and having an affair with another woman called Bathsheba. He had the husband killed, and now broken. He says, oh God, have mercy on me. Show me your kindness, your favor. He had failed. And while he's going through the lament, verse 18, which is right at the end of the psalm. Right near the end of the psalm. He says these words. Look with favor on Zion. Zion represented the people of God. And help them rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Even though he was in that place where he was battling with the favor, with sin and his own confession, he remembered the people of God. And God immediately put a word in our heart, Bobby and I, for Edge Church this morning. God is calling you to step into his favor so he can rebuild the broken walls. He's inviting you to put him first. We couldn't move from this sermon. From this point, we try to end the sermon differently, but we felt God said, no. You tell the people, I'm inviting them. I'm inviting them to step into my favor so that they can rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, rebuild the walls of your life. And in a minute, because we've got time allocated, I'm going to ask you to stand. And John's going to play on the keyboard. And if you're willing and ready to say, God first, I'm stepping into the favor of God this season. You come down. Bobby and I are going to pray for you this morning. John, will you play the keyboards as everybody stands? And you start coming now. Making it easier when you stand for people to make their way out of the chairs. You come. I want the favor of God in my life. And I'm putting him first. Start making your way to the front so we can pray for you. You come. From the top. Come down. You come. Take that bold step. Come right out. Won't you please come closer to the front? Come close to the front. Make your way. Hallelujah. Wonderful Savior. Bobby, you join me as we pray. They're still coming from the balcony, so just give people some time. Thank you, God. Now, I want you to do what is a simple thing. But it's actually an act of surrender. When you open your hands like you've got nothing to give God, but just to receive. It's just an act of simple surrender. You say, God, you first. I'm stepping into your favor. I'm making godly decisions going forward.
Father, we're here and I'm here. My hands are raised because I want to step into an invitation that has come from you. It's our Kairos moment where you've broken into our world and you've tapped us on the shoulder as a church and as individuals and as a people. And you have extended an invitation and we're saying yes this morning. We're saying that we don't want to do 2014 without you in our lives and with you at the very center of our lives. And so, Father, I pray that as today we're making a godly choice here, a godly decision to say yes. Yes, God, we're going to step into that season of that you have ordained, preordained for our lives. And we are saying, God, here's our life. Help us to live the way that young man lived, who in fact, looking at his life, it was extremely difficult. 13 years of his life, 13 years. It looked like it was crazy, and yet even in the craziness, in the disappointment, in the betrayal, the favor of God was there. seen in the way he dealt with things, the way he administrated things, the choices, the decisions, the favor of God. And I pray for everyone here, for those who are up front. We're desperate, God. We can't do life without you. We don't want to do life without you. We want you first. We want you set in every area of our life, our marriages, our family, our relationships, our workplaces, our places of school. We want you, God, at the very center, that our lives, the favor of God will be seen in our lives through our godly choices.
Jesus.
And we'll choose you first. When unjustly treated, we'll forgive. When tempted, we're going to say we're not going there. When in places when it looks like life is good and the sky is blue, we will still say God first.
Yes.
We'll not abuse that place of prosperity and success, but we say God first. I pray that. Everyone up front. That's our heart.
Yes.
That's what we want. That's what we desire. So we want to be people living, walking in God's season of favor for our lives. We're desperate.
Yes.
Pray that you would do that for us. We hear God.